And so I want to journey through parts of the story of Ruth. Many of you might be familiar with it. Some of you may not be familiar with the story found in Ruth, and you can, in your own time, read over it. But I want to take segments of it and bring us on a journey today. And I've titled today's message, From Empty to Full. And so in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1 to 2, it reads, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. And so I want to talk through four points today. Number one is trusting God's provision. Number two, leaving God's provision. Number three, returning to God's provision. And number four, living under God's provision. And so starting with trusting God's provision, it's very interesting that we are introduced to a family who live in Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means the house of bread. And so they are in a place associated with provision, but yet they are experiencing a famine. Such is the tension of our Christian life. We live in the tension of the now and the not yet. We've been saved, we've been freed, we've been made new, but it's not yet in its fullness. And so we have this family in Bethlehem, a place referred to with provision, but yet they are experiencing a famine. The Israelites would have known God to be a provider. Through the wilderness when they left Egypt and they were hungry and they were starving. It reads in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. And so during the time of prayer this morning, there were many words that were brought forth with confirmation with this message. And so in the wilderness, the Israelites were hungry and they were starving and they began to grumble. And God responds with provision and he says, yet I'm going to test them. It is very interesting that God says, I am going to provide bread daily, which means God wanted them to trust him daily. It's very easy to trust God in moments and times of provision, but what about in times of lack? The Lord brought me on a journey. He's constantly bringing me on a journey, but mid last year, he brought me on a journey. I believe that for us, my family, tithing is one of the ways we show us trusting God's provision. And so we give a tenth as a principle in giving to God. And so we faithfully give our tenth. And I heard the Lord clearly. I said to my wife, I said, I feel like we need to make some more room in our finances to be more of a blessing. And so each month we were saying, okay, let's just find someone who we can bless, who we can be a blessing to. And so we'd done this for 2 months. And then I received my pay and I contacted our finance guy and said, my pay is half this month. And he says, well, contact, we call it HMRC, like a financial body in the UK, and find out if there's anything wrong with your tax. And so I call them and they say to me, well, 5 years ago, you was not on the correct tax code. And so you owe us money. And I remember clearly what happened. Well, it's probably longer than 5 years ago. I remember exactly what had happened. I went into full-time ministry. And when I went into full-time ministry, about 5 months after, we went into lockdown. and I was expecting, me and my wife were expecting our second child. And I was saying, ministry is not going to cover the cost. And so out of panic, I actually went back into work whilst doing full-time ministry. And I'd done it, and I remember receiving my first paycheck, and it looked so good. It looked so nice. And I said, God, even if things get tough with ministry, I'm going to stay out at this job as long as I can just to provide for my family. And God really rebuked me. It was such a rebuke. It felt like for me, God had said to me, I've forgiven you, but I'm still upset. And so I went on a journey with him. And so after repenting and all of that, I felt like when last year they're saying, you owe money for that period, that was God saying, that's when you didn't trust me. And so I said to God, you know what? That's fine. We'll make it work. I'm still going to be a blessing. That week, I went to visit one of our members who had an operation, and so I went to the supermarket to buy them some food, some groceries, and as I was in the supermarket, this woman, elderly woman, comes up to me. She looks in my face and says, can you pay for my shopping? So I'm looking at her. I'm staring at her, trying to discern, like, are you real? Are you genuine? Are you false? But I'm not feeling anything within me to say, don't pay for a shopping. So I say, yes, that's fine. I'll pay for your shopping. I said, I've just got to get a few more bits and I'll pay for your shopping. So I was walking around the supermarket and she was walking quite slow. So on three occasions, I was thinking, I can run out of this shop and not pay for her shopping. And so we get to the till and I thought looking at it, it was only going to be about £30. It was £80. She had bio oil. And that's like £20. I'm thinking, all right, I'll pay for it anyway. So I pay for it. And she turns to me and she starts praying for me in the supermarket and says, God bless you. Thank you so much. She says, I didn't want to ask anyone, but I felt to ask you. And I was like, has she seen me online? Is she testing me as a pastor? Did I preach recently on giving and generosity? But the next day, someone phoned me and says, I need to meet with you urgently. And I'm thinking, this is serious. I go to meet with them in a coffee shop and they ask me, how are you, etc. Long and short of the story, they pull out an envelope and says, the Lord has told me to give this to you. What they gave me was 5 times the amount of what I paid for that woman's shopping. The month after, our accountant was doing our books and says, you're actually on the wrong tax code. You actually should be getting more. And from the month after, my salary has been more. And so this was a journey the Lord has brought me on in trusting his provision that he provides daily. And the Lord wants us to trust him daily. Elimelech leaves Bethlehem and he belonged to a people who experience God's provision. And the test would be, would he trust God now? And I know I might be reading in between the lines, but the text seems to let us know that there is a famine, and that is the reason why he leaves Bethlehem to go to Moab. Interesting enough, living in God's will does not guarantee abundance. But leaving his will, trying to make things work for our own lives, also doesn't guarantee abundance. And so Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11 to 12 reads from Apostle Paul, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. And he says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. It's a journey we have to go on to learn how to be content. Whether we have plenty or whether we have little, God wants us to be a people who are content. It's actually a secret. The Apostle Paul says, the secret to being content, and I believe it's found in verse 13. He says, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so Christ is our source of fullness. It's nothing in this world. We cannot turn to the riches and the security of earthly pleasures. It's temporary. We have to look to Christ. The beautiful thing is this morning during prayer, I think it was Nick, he brought a word saying about the 10 leopards and 9 went, but 1 was grateful. I believe that actually part of the secret art of being content is learning to have a heart of gratitude. Gratitude combats discontentment. When I learn to be grateful, and that's why I think I'm bringing a lot of things here of thoughts. But I think Jesus said, in terms of the Holy Communion, do this often in remembrance of me. When we remember him, that's where our fullness comes from. He is our source. And we constantly got to be thankful for the cross, thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus and the price that he paid on the cross. Amen. So we've got to learn to trust in God's provision. But at times, people leave God's provision just like Elimelech. It reads in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 3 to 6. It reads, now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died in Moab. And she was left with her 2 sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her 2 sons and her husband. This is the danger of seeking security outside of God. This family had left thinking life's going to be better in Moab. Yet for poor Naomi, she loses her husband and her 2 sons. I think about families in the UK, all who are heading to Dubai for the past 10 years. Last year, we had 2 families in our congregation leave for Dubai. And Dubai has been sold to these families that you can make more for the work that you're doing. You know, there's less tax, you get more for your salary, and it's safe. There's so much security. And they were promised this. And with the recent war happening in the Middle East, many people are leaving Dubai to come back to the UK. I spoke to my daughter this morning, well, it was my wife talking to her, and my daughter says, oh, this family was here, a family that were left for Dubai, because apparently, my daughter says, there's a war going on. What they had left for security, they're flocking back. My cousin is in Dubai, and he says he looked out his apartment and there was remains of an intercepted missile outside his apartment. They're saying, we can hear it. And these are families that went to Dubai for security and are now heading back to the UK. And I think about this story with Naomi that leaves with her family to Moab, hoping for a better way of life. And she says, life has not gotten better. I want to bring us just for a moment on a journey through Naomi's perspective, because when she goes back, if you know the story, when she goes back to Bethlehem, this is what she says in verse 20 to 21. She says, don't call me Naomi. She says, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. She says, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has affected me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. As I looked at this text, pain can reshape how we see everything. Naomi, her name means joy, and she wants to replace her name. And she says, just call me bitter. Naomi redefines her identity through her pain. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. I have to journey with many millennials in our congregation getting married. Last year, we had 9 marriages. This year, we have 5 marriages. And there's been a couple of marriages. People have gotten married, and maybe the husband or the wife loses their job within the first year of marriage. And journeying with these guys through it to say, just trust God and hold on to God. And they start off trusting God and holding on to God. But you see the real challenges and the pressures of holding on to that faith. And then it begins to redefine their identity. They start slowly, for some, dropping back from church and their faith in God. They begin to question God in it. And this is what Naomi does. She says, God has made my life bitter. I don't know how people live outside of Christ. You see, God may not change our challenges right away, but he will bring us through it. And that's why the Apostle Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Through whatever season of life, I have a hope that I can hold on to. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, it reads, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without joy in the world. You see, outside of Christ, suffering feels final and empty. But in Christ, suffering has a purpose and a direction. The difference is not the absence of suffering, but the presence of God within it and the hope to carry us through. And so I wish I could sit with Naomi as she was going through this season and just quote to her James. Thank God we've got James. And I would quote to Naomi. I would say to Naomi from James chapter 1 and verse 2 to 4, I would say, consider it pure joy. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I would sit with Naomi, with my wife, of course. I would sit with Naomi, with my wife, and I would say, God may not remove the trial immediately, but he uses it to form something in us. Just hold on to hope, Naomi. And so we have Naomi returning back to the place of God's provision. Where there was famine, the Bible actually gives us some great information to say that the Lord now provides for the land. It reads in verse 6 of Ruth chapter 1. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, praise God, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. For a moment, if we go to the next slide, I just want to talk a moment about the crossroad. The crossroad, because Naomi hears about the provision in Bethlehem and she gathers her 2 daughters, her daughter-in-law, and she heads back to Bethlehem. And as she's making her way, she stops and says to her daughters, she says, you know what, you've been such a blessing to me, but I want you to return back and I want you to go back home and to your people. Look, I can't provide you with any sons to marry. Go and live a better life. And Orpah heads back. She chooses comfort. Whereas Ruth says to Naomi, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to choose commitment. Because there are people who follow Christ out of provision. And when there's no provision, they turn back. It's actually a cost to follow him. we live in the tension that yes, as we follow him, we are blessed, but we live in the now and the not yet. And I love what Ruth says. Ruth says, do not urge me, verse 16 to 17, do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. I read of this in the Gospels, a similar instance where a guy comes to Jesus and says, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, following me, I cannot promise you comfort. Following me, I cannot promise you provision. He says, actually, birds have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Ruth says, you know what? I'm going to follow you in whatever season, whatever it may bring, because I know you're God. When we return back to trusting in God's provision, it will come at a cost. We can't do it for just the short-term benefits. Are we in it for the long haul? Following Christ, at times there will be seasons of lack. At times there will be seasons of provision. At times there will be seasons of blessings. At times there will be seasons of battles. But will we hold on and continue trusting him? In John chapter 6 and verse 66 to 68, many people follow Jesus because he's provided bread. And in John 6, 66 to 68, it reads, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. He says to them, to his close disciples, he says, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Many followed Jesus for what he gave, but left when it became difficult. But the ones that were close to him said, Jesus, we have nowhere else to go. The same for Ruth, following Naomi. She says, even if I don't get a husband, even if my life doesn't change right now, I know there is something about the God that you serve and the God that you follow. And having him means so much more than anything I can acquire in my own strength and in my own might. And so I'd rather live my life by Proverbs of acknowledge God in all your ways, and he will direct your path. As I prepare to close, it'd be great if we could have the keyboard playing. This is my signal to prepare to bring it down. The keyboard is always helpful. Now, we have to live a life of just being close to God and being obedient to him and following his voice, which was another message that came through, I believe, from Sarah during time of prayer. God desires obedience over sacrifice. And so I want to finish off with just mentioning living under God's provision. When Naomi returns back to Bethlehem, the place where God has provided. It goes on to read in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13. Well, actually, I'm just going to read from verse 14 to 15. It reads, the women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. Naomi's mourning and her bitterness was turned into joy when she returned back to the place of God's provision. When she went back to Bethlehem, the Bible says that there was a guardian redeemer through Boaz, and it was through the birth of a son that restored her joy. It was through the birth of a son that renewed her life. It was through the birth of a son that sustained her. And what I find so beautiful in all of this is the son, his name was Obed. And he is in the lineage of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the place that she returns to. Jesus was born in the house of bread. And what does Jesus say about himself in John 6:35? Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." God answered Naomi's emptiness with the birth of a son, and she became full. And so too for us here today, God answers our emptiness through the birth of his very own son. And so I understand exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying when he says, "I've learned the secret art of being content in whatever season." He says, "I cling to Christ Jesus." In Philippians, he says, the Apostle Paul says, "I consider everything as garbage, everything as loss, whatever I saw as gains is rubbish to me, that I may know Christ, know him in his suffering, that I may partake in his glory and in his resurrection." He says, yes, just give me Christ, Christ Jesus. We could be like Naomi. People going after and Elimelech and his family that stopped trusting in God's provision and tried to provide for ourselves. And God is saying today, will you return? Will you return back to trust in me? I've given everything you need for the birth of my son, Jesus. Naomi's bitterness of losing her husband. Naomi's bitterness of losing her sons. And she says, "I return back empty." She says, "Now I'm full and now I'm complete with the birth of this son." It weren't the Messiah. The Messiah was in the lineage. Christ is in the lineage, but just through the birth of a son. How much more Christ Jesus?